Well, good morning, everyone. If you would stand and grab your hymn book, let's turn to page 60. The way of the cross leads home. Let's sing all three verses. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. Bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. I'm so thankful for the cross. So thankful as we are mindful of the way of the cross. It's a way. Hey, if you're going home, you know how you're getting there? By the way of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Good to see you one and all. And it's good to look around and see some visitors as well with us this morning. And as we take a couple minutes here to welcome each other, please, please, church family, get around and welcome our visitors. Let them know how much we appreciate them being here. Let's take a couple minutes to do that right now. Amen.
If you'll make your way back to your seats, let's turn to 114. Are you with are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. On the last, are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
You can be seated. Once more, let's turn to 403. Let's sing the first and last.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Okay, we're going to sing the last verse, but we want to practice this real quick. When we sing, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, Try to smile. Okay? Wonderful. All right? Let's sing last. Love beyond a human comprehending. Love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending. Great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. Wonderful. Thank you. You can be seated.
You can go ahead and come, Brother Daniel. I had one announcement that was special delivery. And Miss Marcia would appreciate, ladies, if you would meet for just a few minutes down front here after the morning service for just a few minutes concerning the September retreat. So please, ladies, if you could do that.
Good morning, Metropolitan. Man, can you please come forward for the offering? It's good to be with y'all this morning. Also, we'll be having July 22nd, we'll be having snack night for the youth. We'll also be having a meeting with the parents after this AM service, so parents come with the ladies also here in the front. Yes, after services. And potluck, the men's breakfast, Saturday, the 28th at 9 a.m. in the gym. See Pastor or Brother Allen for more information. We'll be having a potluck coming soon, July the 29th, after a.m. service. Please pick up two new inserts for your directories at the Welcome Center. There will be more printed for the p.m. service. Still need door greeters, nursery workers, and prayer warriors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks, Lord, for this day, Lord, and just another day to worship. I pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word. I pray that you be with our pastor as he preaches, Lord. And Lord, if there be any in attendance today, Lord, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today, Lord, that they come to that knowledge. I pray that you speak to my heart, Father. And we pray for the offering and pray that that you bless it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. There's two meetings there. Marcia, can you meet with the ladies this evening after the service? The teenagers or the parents of the teens have a meeting this morning. Okay? So the ladies, you can meet with Marcia this evening, after this evening service. Please be mindful of that, ladies.
Just was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wing. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Child with a heavenly home, my holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll see with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King.
Amen. Well, you can be turning this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Of course, in keeping with this theme through the 2018 year, we're talking about following Jesus, looking at his followers, trying to learn from them, learn from him as he led his followers. So we continue since Resurrection Sunday, Easter as we call it, that time between his resurrection and his ascension back to glory. And so if you found your place there in Acts chapter 1, please stand with me as we would give reverence to the Word of God, and looking at just a few verses there today and picking up in verse 6, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, speaking of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Father, once again we bow before you, asking you, Lord, to be in absolute, complete control of this hour. Thank you for the music that we've been able to be part of and have heard. Pray that our hearts would be prepared now to hear from your divine word, asking you to use your Holy Spirit, opening our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of that law even in this hour. Pray that we could be taught, Lord, taught of Jesus as he taught his followers so long ago. Might we today follow him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, I pray, I ask you in his name, anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you be pleased, Lord, deal with that dear one, drawing them savingly, gloriously to yourself. And we'll give you all the honor, all the praise, and indeed all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, of course, may be seated. As we come to this point in the Lord's ministry here before his return to glory, the historical timing is, it comes to play. It's been a long, long time since the Jews had enjoyed the blessings of being their own kingdom, their own nation in and of themselves there at this timing in the first century. They had been under the rule of other nations for just over 600 years. We compare that to our 200, what we celebrate last week, 242 years. Well, Israel had been without that blessing of being under their own rule for over 600 years. And except for just a brief time during that intertestament period between Malachi and the New Testament revelation, there was a brief time that they were self-rule. But other than that, they had been under the domination of other nations since Jerusalem had fell to the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, approximately 586 B.C. Now it's around 30 A.D., give or take a year or so. So with that, the disciples, oh my, be mindful of all that they had witnessed, all that their eyes had seen, their ears had heard through those the last 3 years, what they'd been through even over the last few months, and seeing their master crucified and put into that tomb and then rise again from the dead. They've enjoyed his presence as he came and went from them for some 40 days. And now, with all of that, there's no longer any question in the mind of the disciples that Jesus the Christ was capable of. No question what he was capable of. Beloved, if death and the tomb could not stop him in their hearts and minds, how could Rome stop him any longer? Amen. So their question to him, in anticipation of the kingdom, their question comes to him in anticipation of the kingdom. It says in verse 6, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time, will you now restore again the kingdom to Israel? Wow. Now, as we see, it mentions that they were come together. The disciples were come together at this point with the Lord Jesus. It's not the 120 that would meet in that room in Jerusalem in a few days. It was not the 500 that had met with him mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. This is back to the Lord Jesus Christ and those 11 remaining disciples whom he called his apostles. The disciples asked this question. We see their question of the Lord Jesus. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now we can picture the scene. The disciples asked this question. Lord, now again, please allow me this little bit of room here, all right? I'm not being trite whatsoever. It's just them now. It's just them back with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just us now, Lord. We know that thou art the Messiah. Are you now going to reestablish our kingdom, the kingdom of Israel? Now, it's important for us to remember that there had been talk of the kingdom before amongst them. Remember? This is not the first time the subject had come up. Do you remember when the mother of James and John had come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's asking, let's just say, she's asking some special attention for her sons. And in the Gospel of Mark and in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 21, it says this: He said to her, James and John's mother, "What wilt thou?" And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand, the other on thy left, in thy kingdom." Again, they were anticipating even back then what Jesus might do, what he possibly would do. Would he? Would their master, this one that had done so many amazing things before, would he be the one that would reestablish the kingdom? Now, the anticipation. This anticipation concerning the restoration of the kingdom wasn't limited to Jesus' disciples alone. No, not at all. All Israel was anticipating the coming of their Messiah. We can understand that. Surely we can identify with that. All Israel was anticipating his coming, and that he, the Messiah, would deliver them from the Roman Emperor, the Roman Empire. Could you imagine every day as you would walk the streets of Jerusalem, you would be confronted with an occupation army. Everywhere you looked, you'd see Roman soldiers, the banners of Rome hanging in your city, the ancient city of Israel, Jerusalem. And imagine. Just imagine, you know, sometimes I try to put myself, how I would think. Imagine if you and I saw the Chinese flag flying over Washington, D.C., or our capital. We mentioned a little bit of that last week. How would we think about Russia's flag flying over our city? This is how this people of Israel felt. They've been under the domination of others for so long. And now, as we've said, there's no more question amongst the disciples. We know who you are. We know that you are the Holy One of Israel. You are the Messiah. You are God's Holy One sent to us. And again, they ask him the question, are you going to restore the kingdom now? After all this, are you going to restore the kingdom? With your great victory over the grave, your great victory over death, are you now going to resurrect Israel as well? And be fresh on their hearts. We see here this preoccupation that existed concerning the kingdom. The kingdom in verse 7. He said unto them, you imagine as they're trying to sort all this out, and then he gives them this answer. And he, Jesus, said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And again, that word power means more than just strength or energy. It's the idea of authority. This came under the Father's authority. It was his power to determine the times and the season of the kingdom. Now the disciples, and as we said a moment ago, the disciples and the Jews in general, they were focused on what kind of a kingdom? They were focused on a physical and temporal kingdom. But that wasn't what God had in mind. That was not what God was doing. He literally had a far greater kingdom in mind. Far greater. We see, as Jesus speaks here, we see the enmity, if we can use that word, of this kingdom. It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the time and the season. Wow. Wow. Again, I'm sure it was in many ways disappointing to the disciples as they're trying to sort through all this and understand what the Lord Jesus is talking about. Now, we have a tremendous and totally reliable record of everything that God wants us to know. Now, it's right here in these pages. God has revealed to us everything He wants us to know. Be careful of those who come along today and have extra biblical revelation. Just be careful. Be mindful what the last chapter says about those who would add to and take away from what God has given us, what He's given us to know. We have clear instruction on how we're to live here and now. He's given it to us. He's given it to us in His book. And what are we to do tomorrow? What are we to do tomorrow? When tomorrow comes, when the light dawns, what are we to be doing tomorrow? We're to continue to fulfill the plan that He's given us. Settle that right in your mind, and we'll see that a little bit more later on. You and I are to continue tomorrow in what He's given us to do today. He's revealed what He wants you and what He wants me to be doing right now. And it's the same for tomorrow. It's the same for tomorrow. We're to continue to tell precious souls how they can know Jesus Christ and how to be saved and delivered from their sin. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Jesus informs His beloved disciples. Now, stick with me here. He told them, you don't need to know. He told them they didn't need to know when God was going to bring this age to its culmination. You don't need to know. Again, what would that include? This culmination that so many even today are concerned about and focused on. Of course, that would involve when He would instruct the angel to blow that last trump. When that last trump would sound and when He will call His people, you and I, out of this world, setting in motion. Again, when all that takes place, it will set in motion the countdown through that 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. He told His disciples. Now think about this. He told His disciples, it's not for you to know when that begins. It's not for you to be concerned about the times and the seasons of that happening. Now, as I think about it, I consider this and who He's with, this company that He's with. If Jesus was going to tell anyone what the plan was concerning that timing, I think it would have been those 11 men. Wouldn't you? Huh? Well, we also see here the authority of this kingdom's timing. And it says here, which the Father hath put in His own power. Which the Father hath put in His own power. Now, Jesus goes on to explain the authority, the power, the authority for regulating that timetable rests with God the Father alone. Now, this is a puzzle, is it not? It's a bit puzzling to us. Stick with me. When describing the timing of the last days through His earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, now in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 13 and verse 32. Be mindful. He said this, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Isn't that a fascinating statement from the lips of the Lord Jesus? To me, it's fascinating. We must conclude from Jesus' own words that this, Himself, the Son of God, is in what? Submission to His Father. Even God the Son acted in submission to God the Father. His Father. Wow. Now it's hard for us to, you know, my puny little brain to put all that together. To understand that. Jesus is the Son of God. No question. He's the Son of God and what? God the Son. No question in our mind about that. How is it that there's anything He doesn't know? Don't even ask me. You thought you were going to get some kind of answer, huh? Surprise, surprise. Some things are just beyond us. Huh? And in the workings of the Godhead, we find that there's even mysteries there. It could be. Now again, did you notice the words? It could be. It could be that the Lord Jesus Christ and Mark, as He made this statement, is explaining that He, it's not for Him to even acknowledge that timing. It's not for Him to be revealing that which belongs to God the Father alone. The secrets and mysteries of the workings of our God. But we see as well, we see the instigation, if you will, the instigation of this kingdom. How will God's kingdom be brought about? A lot of folks focus on that. How would God's kingdom be brought about? Well, would it be brought about through the power of the sword? Tanks and guns and cannons and all that good stuff? Not really. No. Will there be a great army dispatched to establish God's kingdom? Well, no, but in some ways, yes. You say, yeah. Now you're really confusing, preacher. The kingdom of God will be established at the command of God. By the word of His mouth, His enemies will be defeated. The command of God. But we see that in this present time, in this age, now, when we speak of the kingdom of God, we're speaking of the rule of God. We're the rule of God in this world. Who rules this world? Is it Washington, D.C., Moscow, and all the other capitals of the world? Well, they think they rule things. And they play their games and their politics and all that we even was alluding to last week. But, beloved, we have a God that sits on His throne in glory. We have a God that is in complete and absolute control. What were the words last week? Our God reigns. In heaven. Oh, by the way, what did we read in Matthew 28, verse 20? Where has Jesus been given all authority, according to verse 18? In heaven and on earth. Our God reigns. He is in absolute control. And we do understand that indeed His kingdom on earth will be established at His command. God's people are not to concern themselves about the timing of the kingdom. We're not to be concerned about that. I know who the king is. I know who's in control. And my fussing or worrying about when this kingdom is established, is it going to, am I going to change something? Stick with me, please. Because there's a lot. I'll save it for a minute. I was going to mention something, but I'll hold on to it for a moment. God has plenty for us to be doing right now. There's plenty for us to be doing right now. And we see here, as we read in verse 8, the power to witness for the kingdom. We don't want to make the mistake of some that you and I are going to bring in that kingdom. Oh, that we get ourselves in a tangle when we start thinking that away. And forgive my bad grammar. It's God that will establish his kingdom. In many ways, we're to be focusing on populating the kingdom, if you will. God has given us plenty to be doing and to be busy about right now. And we are to be not focused on the kingdom, but focus on the King. Focus on King Jesus. And we'll do all right. We'll do all right. We'll see that power. It says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, again, Jesus has just spoken of the power, the authority of his Father. And that his Father will be the one to determine the timing of the kingdom. But then immediately says, but ye. Who's he speaking to? His disciples. His followers. Are you saved? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus? Well, I believe he's speaking to you and I too. He says, but ye shall receive power. Remember what we looked at a couple weeks ago, that promise of the Father? Where were they to wait? Wait for the promise of the Father. And so again, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Jesus is saying, you will receive authority. Again, we've got to tie this to Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus declared what? All power is given unto me, where? In heaven and in earth. And what does Jesus say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Ye shall receive power. Where's that power come from? Comes from him, comes from glory, comes to the giving of the Holy Spirit of God. We have authority. We have power in this world. We don't need to be intimidated. We don't need to allow ourselves to be beat down and dissuaded from being what we are to be. Let's get to that in a moment. Be what God has ordained that we should be, and to be busy about this work that he's given to us to do, this power. Wow. We don't need to know the time of the end of the age. Why do we need to know the time? Why do I need to know the time? Now let that sink in a second. Should knowing the time of the end of the age change how we live our lives today? Should it change? If I know the time, should it change how I'm living right now? Hold on to that. God has a work for us to be busy about, as we said. We are to serve Christ how? Right now. How are we to serve? How are we to love him? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, Mark's version says. Mark's gospel says. So if I'm living for the Lord with everything that I am right now, how would knowing when he's going to come change that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, it says this. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We know what we need to know. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning. And with his return, there will be a judgment. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're made manifest unto God, and we trust also made manifest in your hearts. Wow. So if I know, beloved, what I need to know. If I know the end of the ages, do we know that the end of the age is coming? Yes, we know it. Well, what do we know? What do we know about the end of the age? When could it be? Before we say amen, you and I that are saved could be in glory. Huh? I'm not jumping too high lately. Could be. But I don't need to worry about that. I don't need to concern myself with that. That's God will take care of that. That's left with him. I'm to be busy about the work that he's given to me. Wow. We do know the end of the age is coming. Unfortunately, we don't always live like we know that. We understand. Now listen to this. We understand that the opportunity for folks to be saved, I'm going to use the word limited. The end of that time is also coming. That's why, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote there. He says, For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is the day of salvation? Today. I don't know about you. Unfortunately, I didn't get saved the first day I heard the gospel. I didn't get saved the first time somebody told me about Jesus. Oh man, I wish I had, but that just didn't. Y'all know by now how hard-headed I am. It took a while for it to soak through the gray matter, just the way it is. The day of salvation is today. If you're here today, and you realize that if you left this world without Christ, you would spend eternity in hell. If the trump sounded today and God's people were called out, what would be your end? What would be your end in that thing? Wow. We need to be doing everything. We need to be doing everything we can to see folks saved today. Now, again, just so we got it, if we knew that the Lord Jesus Christ would return on Tuesday, what should we do different tomorrow, on Monday? Hopefully you and I can say nothing. You and I are doing what we ought or should be doing right now. Living for Christ with everything we are. We need to be doing everything we can. We see here as we come to the end of this, the extent of this witness. The extent of this witness for the kingdom. It says both in. The Lord's words are both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I just want to focus on one statement there. The bottom line of this command is that we are to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost part of the earth. Very interesting expression there in those words. Those words, uttermost part of the earth, they describe a singular place. A singular place. Jesus tells his followers that they are to witness unto him to the farthest region of the earth. The final place on the earth. If you will, they are to witness unto Christ to the last part of the earth. Huh? Wow. Wow. The work of the gospel today is to continue in the power of the Holy Ghost just as it had since the day of Pentecost. Just as it has since the day of Pentecost. That first church in Jerusalem began to reach out to what? Their Judea. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and on and on. Each generation of believers and their churches have had that same exact task to fulfill. And the work of the gospel has continued then in that power, the power of the Holy Spirit since that day. The apostles, they launched out into that task given to them by the Lord. The Apostle Paul accomplished amazing things with that team that the Lord had given to him. From Antioch, they launched out through Galatia and Asia, crossing over to Macedonia and down into Achaia or Greece, as we think of it. And then, of course, eventually, even to the city of Rome. Wow. They carried, beloved, the good news of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They continued. In a sense, the world since then has continued to grow and yet shrink at the same time. That's double talk, isn't it? The world has continued to grow and yet shrink at the same time. And I know it doesn't seem to make sense, but let me explain. The world's population in the first century was estimated to be approximately 230 million people. Yeah, let that soak in. 230 million people in the first century. The population of our planet has literally multiplied again and again and again until it is now approximately 7.6 billion as of July 2018. The world has continued to grow. It's a bigger than ever, not in geography, but in population. And we think of this, for God so loved what? The world. Now, as we're talking about the geographical region of the earth planet, he was talking about the souls. This world of souls. This world has continued to grow. The world is bigger than it has ever been concerning that number of souls. But on the other hand, the world is shrinking. The world is shrinking. The capability to communicate our message of Jesus Christ to the end of the earth has never been more possible than it is today. You pick up your smartphone with a few punches of the finger, you can be talking to the other side of the world. I get a phone call, I look down, it says David Martin calling me from Argentina. Used to be, I'd get a phone call and it'd be a Fort Worth number. I'd say hello and it's Tom Gaudet calling from Thailand. The world is shrinking. It's shrinking that sense that we can reach. Where? To the uttermost parts of it. Wow. Through modern communication means we can talk to the other side of the world in a moment. In a moment. Through the internet, it's literally possible to reach what? That farthest region of the earth. It's amazing. What a time to be alive in. Now you say, preacher, do we still need missionaries? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. As much or maybe more than ever. Because with that ability to communicate to the uttermost part of the earth, there's all the more need. Christianity is what kind of relationship with God? It's a personal relationship with God. And we need to personally interact with folks. Folks still need to hear about Jesus and be taught in the things of God. They need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. They need to be part of local church just like this one. We need the missionaries as much as ever, and maybe more, with the ability to reach the uttermost part of the earth. Wow. 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 No matter how people are reached, no matter how they're reached, they still need to hear, to be taught, to be trained. But the ability to reach that last place, can I say it that way? The ability to reach that last place has never been greater. The potential, I should say, has never been greater. Wow. Through the power, though. Now listen. It's not through our ingenuity. Now, Brother Jeff, Brother John, and all you computer geeks, certainly not including myself in that. I'm just a geek, not a computer geek. Much as I love them, and it's not going to be through their ability that the job is done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for giving those abilities. But if the job is going to get, if we're going to reach that uttermost part of that last place, it'll be in the power and strength of the Holy Ghost, or it won't get done. Huh? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And it's in and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. Let me back up just a little bit. We mentioned that the opportunity to be saved, can I say it this way? Has an expiration date. The day will come when the trump will sound. You and I, believers, churches, be called out of this world. Join our Lord in the air. That day will come. Every one of us in this, every single individual in this room has a date with eternity. We'll live eternally with our Lord Jesus Christ, or experience eternal death and the wrath and judgment of God. Huh? I can't answer that for you. Only you can. You have that peace that when the trump sounds, you'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take that last breath on this side of glory. The next breath will be in paradise with Him. If you don't have that peace, that assurance, that confidence, Jesus said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to be saved. Please. We pray in a moment. These altars will be open. And as always, we're here for you. We're here for each other as well, Christian. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the power of God. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for Jesus today. Lord, indeed, we're grateful. My, even the words of this passage. And Lord, where the preacher's failed, where he's been too vague or too whatever, Lord, I'm asking you to make it clear to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to rejoice that we can rest in your timing, that you do everything right on time. That we can serve you today, tomorrow, and the rest of our days until you call us out or you return with the confidence that you're right on time. We love you, Lord. Please, please deal with hearts and lives today. I don't know what needs might be through this room. Please, would you accomplish your perfect purposes? And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand, Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 351.
We sing, folks, please. Please just obey the Lord. Do what He'd have you to do. Obey Him. As we said, these altars are open. Do what the Lord would want you.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Drew me closer to His side. I sought His will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea. I take my cross and follow Him. Wherever He leadeth me, wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my Master, Lord, and King. Wherever He leads,
I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Let's stop. Loyal and Joan, would you come? You can be seated, folks. Amen. This is Loyal and Joan Cornelius. They've visited off and on and then visited a little more steady lately. And they've come this morning to present themselves for membership here at Metropolitan. So we're thankful for that. And they would like to join on their statement of faith that they both, and we do this separately. We got saved separately. Brother Loyal, you are saved. And you were baptized in a Baptist church of like faith and practice, and Westside Baptist. And Joan, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Amen. And you were baptized, did you say, Rendon Baptist Church? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're grateful for that. Grateful for their testimony and church family, as we do. All in favor of receiving these two on their statement of faith into the membership of Metropolitan Baptist Church, say amen. Pose the same sign and so ordered. And it is great to have you as part of the family of God that calls itself Metropolitan Baptist Church. Amen. What we usually do, folks, is we have somebody come and stand with y'all. And I'm going to ask Erna and Bob Rabick to come if they would and just stand. So you don't have to stand up here by yourself, because everybody's going to come by and say and welcome y'all. You pray for Miss Joan. She's really battling illness, and we'll probably share some more about that later on. But if you too, if Bob and Erna, if you'll come. We praise the Lord for God's mercy to us. Pray that that we be the church that these two dear folks need. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, did we sing a chorus? We can. Let's do that. Amen. Church family, you come by and welcome these two into our fellowship. Amen.
All right, let's stand. We're going to sing our chorus, which is page 57. At Calvary, the first verse in the chorus, Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. You're dismissed.